And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Thank you for joining me today. This is Michelle Badusky, keeping it real with you on Kick FM Radio and the Sox FU Network. And if you're watching me on Facebook, YouTube, or my own website, michellebadusky.ca, thank you for joining me. Maybe you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud. I don't know. I don't care. Thank you just for being here wherever you are. Now, today we're going to be talking about something that I know is going to inspire you to come down one side or the other, because there's not too many people that are neutral on this topic. So wherever you are on this issue, I hope that today's show, my words, make you think a little, because I've been spending a lot of time thinking about this since last week, especially when the owners and publishers of Dr. Seuss decided to stop publishing 6 different books because they contained what they depict as racist content, and they no longer wanted to publish them and perpetuate those racial stereotypes. Now, when they decided this, the internet blew up. It absolutely blew up. People were outraged. People were thrilled. There wasn't a whole lot of people that are very neutral on this topic. And it comes down to the term cancel culture. Now, I had someone who joined us on our Real Westman platform on Facebook who was very adamant that the publishers deciding not to publish these books anymore, which they own and they have every right to, was exactly that. Cancel culture, which would eventually lead down the road to censorship and book burnings. And I think there was even a correlation made there about, you know, shooting people in the streets for reading banned books. It got a little bit extreme. It got a little bit out there, but I'm sure you've seen comments like this on social media. So I wanted to talk about that perception of cancel culture, because in my opinion, it doesn't exist. Nope, don't believe it exists. I believe that the term cancel culture is something that's been made up by people as a way of defending what they feel is the right to continue to do and say whatever they want without consequence. There is no cancel culture here. It is not a matter of, you know, Facebook followers decided to cancel Dr. Seuss. No. The owners of Dr. Seuss decided that some of their content was no longer appropriate because what was acceptable back then when these books were written is no longer acceptable because we as a society have evolved. We're not canceling culture. Our culture is constantly changing. And that's a good thing. Now, no one banned these books. No one demanded that they were taken off the shelf. There's actually no books in Canada that are banned. And yet people don't seem to care about those facts. They just went off the deep end screaming about censorship and book banning and cancel culture. And you know what? It's a bunch of bullshit. It is a bunch of bullshit. It is deflecting from what is really happening here. And what is happening is that our society is evolving. We are changing. We are growing. And those people who never had their voices heard before, the ones that were put down, the ones that were marginalized, the ones that were discriminated against, that just took things like stereotypical racist depictions of their own ethnicity in stride because they didn't feel like they could speak out, those people now have a voice. We all have a voice. And as we speak, as our stories are heard, as we rise above our raising and say, this is not acceptable. You know what? I have actually in my children's library, I have almost all the Dr. Seuss books. And I actually pulled out, I haven't looked at them in a while because my kids are a little bit older and I'm saving all of these, you know, really young primary readers for grandkids eventually. But I took out, for example, to say that I saw it on Mulberry Street. I took it out because I wanted to see for myself what exactly it was because I hadn't looked at the book in years. And I looked at one of the sections and I went, wow, that's wrong. It is wrong. I can see it. It doesn't impact me. It is a complete stereotypical depiction of Asian people. It was, when I saw it, I went, yeah, you know what? This is no longer acceptable. It should never have been acceptable. And that's the problem. It's not that we are, you know, changing so much as evolving, because what we used to find acceptable is pretty horrendous. And the fact that people want to defend this, and I've seen so much of this, you know what? I don't find it offensive, and people need to stop being offended at everything because I don't find it offensive, so we need to continue doing it. Well, you know what? Who cares what you think? Who cares if you're not offended? If you're not offended, good. Take that privilege and run with it. Say, you know what? I don't find this offensive. Good. I'm glad that you are not offended. But when an entire culture is depicted in stereotypical ways that demean and demoralize them, your opinion does not matter. The fact that you don't find it offensive does not matter. And that is the problem here, is that people seem to think that even now, their opinions of what is offensive or appropriate should outweigh everybody else's. And just because those opinions are consistent with the things and the way things were done in history, it should continue to be that way. And I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't need to change. And maybe the fact that so many of us don't see this is the problem, that we are so isolated in how we grew up. And this was a really big thing. It was about last month, a teacher in the Brandon School Division, actually, I think it was a couple teachers, so I'm not singling anyone out, sent home some homework packets. It was beginning of January over the Christmas break, I believe. Give me a shout out on social media if that's wrong, if you know the date, doesn't really matter. But in this homework package was a math sheet that kind of went viral. I shared it on my page and, you know, it made the news, where it was a very stereotypical depiction of an Indigenous person attacking a settler's wagon. And I took one look at this. It was sent to me by a follower, and I was absolutely horrified that these types of inaccurate, stereotypical depictions are still being shared in our educational system. Our educational system, the place where children go to learn unbiased truths. And yet they are still being shown and taught this whitewashed, colonialized version of Canadian history. And it absolutely outraged me. And I actually contacted some members of the Brandon School Division before I said anything in public to make sure that they were aware of it. But what really bothered me were the comments from people on social media. And this is the problem with never changing the way things are done. Because on these comments, so many people defended this depiction because that was history. That was truth. That was reality. And you know what? It wasn't. It wasn't the whole truth. It wasn't the whole story. It did not talk about anything else except depicting Indigenous people as savage attackers and white colonists as innocent victims. It did not tell the other side of the story. It did not tell the truth about colonization. It did not tell the truth about what was happening during that area. It just gave one side of a whitewashed depiction of what some people think is true and factual history. When the truth is, there is more than one side. There's always three sides, right? Theirs, ours, and the middle. Because everyone is biased. And that's the problem with only showing one side and never adapting and never changing. And the fact that so many people defended that because it was true history without acknowledging that there's a whole other side to that history. And if you're going to share one, you need to share the other. They don't understand that because they were only ever taught one way. And because they were taught one way, they assume that's the only way there is and that we should continue only teaching one way. And that is where cancel culture came, is those people that want to continue learning and teaching only one point of view are scared that it's no longer acceptable and no longer tolerated. And they're being forced to learn things and realize things or hear different sides of stories and perspectives that they may not be comfortable hearing. They're also being forced to accept the fact that there are consequences for behaviors that may have been tolerated at one point, but as society evolves, those things are no longer tolerated. We saw this during the Me Too movement. It is not acceptable for a boss to comment on an employee's ass. And yet, you know what? That happened to me when I was moving up into my career, working in Northern Manitoba. I was the only female executive in the industry that I was working at. I actually was a general manager of a major hotel in Northern Manitoba before I was 25. And this was in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. And even then, 20 years ago, things were so different. I remember sitting in a budget meeting where we were discussing multi-million dollar budgets. Four of us. I was the only woman at the table. I was brilliant. I was planned. I could speak to the facts. I knew what I was talking about. And yet when I got up and walked out of that meeting, I heard my boss comment on how my ass looked in the skirt I was wearing. And you know what I did? I did nothing. I did nothing because 20 years ago, if I said anything, I would have ended my career. I just had to go away knowing that no matter how smart I was, no matter how brilliant I was, no matter how qualified, educated, and experienced I was, that when I was in that group of men, I was still going to be just a woman. I was still not going to be treated as an equal. And that's the problem with continuing to allow things to be done the way they always were. Today, that would be completely unacceptable. Today, empowered by a society that embraces equality, that no longer tolerates subjecting people to that type of demoralizing, demeaning harassment. Today, I would have handled that completely differently. And I'm sure many men would say, you know what? Sure, he made a comment, but should he lose his job? Should he? You know what? Yes. Because if you can't treat your employees or your equals as equal, and you feel the need to say sexist, racist, bigoted, hurtful, demeaning things to other people, you should face consequences for that. And the fact that people are defending that, saying, you know what, there should be, you know, cancel culture, there's no free speech anywhere. Bullshit. You are free to say and think and do anything you want to do, but you are not free from the consequences of that. And you know what's sad is that a year and a half ago, we were having this same discussion over hockey. Remember that? You people, milk and honey. It's not cancel culture. It's evolution. When we know better, we do better. And if you are defending your right to continue behaviors that you know are hurtful to others, you got to ask yourself why. Let's go back to Dr. Seuss. If I looked at this book and I came to you and said, this book hurts me. It depicts my family, my culture, my religion, my race, my gender in a hurtful, stereotypical way that makes other people look at me differently and demean me. If I say that to you and you know that it hurts me, and you look me in the eye and say, you know what? Well, it doesn't hurt me, so, you know, suck it up. What kind of person does that make you? What kind of a person wants to do things, wants to continue behavior that hurts others? Why? What is the point of this? What is the point of saying, you know what, we cannot change history, but we can learn from it? And when we say that, people go, no, history is what it is. Just because, you know, it's no longer acceptable doesn't mean we can't continue to do it. When in fact, that's exactly what it means. It is no longer acceptable. It is no longer acceptable to walk up to a girl in a bar and grab her ass. It's not acceptable. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was happening all the time. And you know what we did as women? Nothing. Some of us would maybe turn around and slap you. Some of us probably wouldn't even have said a thing. We would have just tried to get away and ignore it because we felt we didn't have a voice. Today, it's a very different thing. And if you are a man saying, you know what, we used to be able to randomly touch women without their consent. We used to be able to randomly grab their ass and no one had a problem with it. This is cancel culture. Yeah, it is. You should be canceled for that behavior. Think about it. We change as a society all the time. Culture is always evolving. We have come so far, and yet we have so far yet to go. And when I see people fighting against growth and progress, it astounds me. What exactly are you fighting for? Your right to be a bigot? Because that's what it sounds like. I know that this hurts people, and I know it's offensive, but I want to say it without consequence anyways. That's essentially what you're saying when you are fighting against change. And I can't even start to address the fact that people have went completely off the rails on this topic without actually reading what happened. They didn't even read it. They automatically assumed that somebody complained and that there was a ban on these books and that they were forced to pull them from the shelf and they were forced to stop publishing, even though the estate of Dr. Seuss says, we have decided, we chose, we realize. Didn't matter. The facts didn't matter. Nobody followed the facts. They got outraged and screamed cancel culture, and all of a sudden it was a political thing, right? Oh, the liberals. This isn't political. It's not even Canadian. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. They hung on and they are still hanging on, fighting for the right to continue to be offensive and hurtful. And I don't understand why. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to allow hurtful, demoralizing, demeaning behavior to continue once you know that it's hurtful, demoralizing, and demeaning? See, 50 years ago, when that's just the way it was, nobody realized that it was wrong because nobody really cared, and except for the people that it hurt. And the people that it hurt did not have a voice. Hence the problem. So nobody realized they were getting hurt because they never spoke out about it. And those that did were a very small, very quiet minority. And as culture, as our society has changed and evolved, those voices have gotten louder. They have gotten support. They have gotten allies. And now they're saying, you know what? This was never right. It was never acceptable. And now that you know that it's hurtful, demeaning, and demoralizing, it needs to change. That's what's happening here. And there's nothing wrong with it. This is growth. This is progress. This is how the U.S. moved from the slave trade through the Civil War. through the civil rights movement. We just came off of celebrating Black History Month, the Underground Railroad, how Canada has evolved through all of that as well. Did we make mistakes? Absolutely. Was this country founded on colonization and racism? Absolutely. And we are building and learning from that. And as we know better, as we listen to the voices of everyone around us, we realize that in order to grow and get better and create a society that is fair and equal for all, we don't just need to give people voices. We need to listen to those voices. We need to listen to them. We don't need to continue to demean, demoralize, and stereotype people. We don't need to do that anymore. We used to feel like we did in order to keep power, but now we've evolved. We know that true power comes from the people. True power, true change involves us all. We are growing. Black Lives Matter was a huge movement. It is a huge movement that shows how far things have come and yet how far things have to go. Because we are still fighting against those that want to hold on to the past, not because they think it's something that needs to be valued, but because they're scared of change. And I don't understand what it is that is so terrifying about this. This is not cancel culture. You can't cancel a culture. Culture is constantly evolving. There is no cancel of culture here. It is the evolution of culture. And only those that are afraid of growth and awareness would fight to hold that back. Why would you fight against progress? Because the racism and the bigotry and the sexism that has been a part of that history didn't bother you? And because you weren't bothered by it, we should hold on to it? So, in essence, you're saying that you want to retain the right to discriminate without consequence. Because that's what I hear. When I hear people fight and scream cancel culture, that's what it sounds like they're defending to me. Perhaps you can articulate why you are so terrified of cultural evolution. Maybe you can send me an email, give me a shout out on social media. Let me know what your justification for this is. See, no one's trying to change the past. No one's trying to erase the past. No one's trying to pretend that past didn't happen. What we are trying to do is learn from it and be better because of it. And when we do things like say, you know what? We are no longer going to stereotypically racially profile Indigenous people in our schools, of all places. We are no longer going to create literature that stereotypically racially profiles people. It doesn't mean we're going to change what was written 60 years ago. We need to use that as a learning block. Those Dr. Seuss books are not being pulled from the shelf. They're not being burned in the street. Actually, they hit the number 10 bestseller list. No one's removing them. They're just not going to publish new ones. That's it. It was a business decision, and they made that decision. Nobody canceled them. I still have the book. I didn't throw it out. Because I'm going to, now that I see it, now that I know, now that I'm aware. Because you know what? I'll be honest. I never, ever noticed. In the 26 years I have been a parent, I never noticed how hurtful those stereotypes being depicted in a children's book could be. But now I'm aware. I've read and talked to people with Asian backgrounds and saw this book through their eyes and I went, wow, this is not right. So now I'm actually going to make a point of using that book when I teach my children, and I'm going to talk about this aspect of the book. I'm going to use it as a learning tool. I'm going to learn from that past. But that doesn't mean we need to continue doing it. That's how we evolve. We do better when we know better. And if someone tells you, if you make a mistake, you know, I have people in my life that are, I'll throw this out there. I have people in my life and in my family's life that are transgendered. And when they first, you know, when they first told me, I have no problem with it, but it was difficult to, at first, and even sometimes now, I will misgender them by accident. You know, and it is a reality that it's something I'm very aware of, and I really try hard not to do that because I know how hurtful that is to misgender someone. Now, if you make an honest mistake because you don't know and aren't aware, that's an honest mistake. If you continue to do it and correct yourself, that shows someone, or at least I hope it shows those people in my life for sure, how hard I'm trying to be respectful and that I am human and make mistakes. But if someone tells you and you are aware and you refuse to do it, that just makes you an asshole. Why would you intentionally do something you know hurts another human being? Happy, healthy people do not intentionally hurt others. And continuing to use racial, sexual, cultural stereotypes and words and terms that we know hurt others because they've told us, but because it doesn't hurt us, we refuse to change. That makes us assholes. We are intentionally doing something we know is hurtful. Even if you don't agree with it, it doesn't matter. If someone tells you, when you use that term, it hurts me, and you go, well, it doesn't hurt me, so I'm going to continue using it, that's what you're doing. That is what you're doing when you are defending a continuation of behavior, no matter how socially acceptable it was before. It's no longer acceptable. And when you defend that behavior, that's exactly what you're doing. And let me make it a little bit more personal. If you had a teenage daughter that came to you and said, Dad, it hurts me when you call me chubby. It hurts my self-esteem and makes me feel bad when you call me chubby. Please don't do it anymore. If your daughter came to you and said that, would you look her in the eye and say, well, you know what? I don't find the word chubby offensive, and I'm not chubby, so I'm going to continue calling you chubby, and you're just going to need to get over it, you little snowflake. Would you say that to her? God, I hope not. But when you are insisting on continuing a behavior in society that you are aware of, that is offensive, hurtful, demeaning, and demoralizing to anyone, and you insist on continuing to do it because it doesn't personally impact you, or it doesn't personally, or you don't agree with it, that's essentially what you're doing. It's the same as looking at your daughter and saying, I'm going to keep calling you chubby no matter how it makes you feel because I don't feel like it should. You don't get that vote. When we know better, we do better. And once we are made aware of something, especially something so simple and meaningless, it costs us nothing to change. You know what? I'm sorry. For all you men out there, it costs you nothing to not grab a woman's ass. And yet, you know what? You can make such a great world of difference in the world by respecting women. So for those of you who say, I don't agree and I'm going to continue grabbing women's asses, I hope you enjoy your jail time because that's assault. You don't have that right. Just like you don't have the right to use language, words, and actions that discriminate, hurt, demoralize, or incite hatred to anyone based on their color, their nationality, their religion, their orientation, their gender. You don't have that right. You never really did, except that those voices that were actually standing up against those that violated that were always quieted. They were always silenced, and they will no longer be silent. That's what you're seeing here. It is not the canceling of a culture. It is the evolution of a culture. And if the dinosaurs have taught us anything, only those that adapt to evolution survive. So for those of you who are continuing to demand that we be allowed without consequence to continue hateful, hurtful behavior because it was always allowed before, pick your knuckles up off the ground and get with the program. The future is here, and you can either be a part of it or you can go the way of the dinosaurs. This is Michelle Badusky, keeping it real with you, and I look forward to this conversation on my social media. So check me out on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.